Hello and welcome to the Why Divorce Radio Show, a project dedicated to helping men and women get through one of the toughest experiences of their lives and find their way to health, happiness, and wholeness. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, creator of the Why Divorce Project and your host.
Hello, friends. Welcome to today's episode of the Why Divorce Show, a podcast and video series that unpacks the five reasons to leave: addiction, adultery, abuse, abandonment, and angst. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, author of the book project that I launched to help answer those questions for myself. And we are going to learn a lot from today's guest, Adam Cole, the couple's financial coach. He'll talk about the number one mistake couples make when it comes to managing their money and the top myths around relationship and money. So welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Hope.
Yeah. So, all right, let's launch into, first of all, tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So as you said, I'm a couple's financial coach, and I come to this work from a lot of different places. One is certainly that I have been involved in business, numbers, finance all my life. I studied economics at the University of Miami, then went to law school at Duke and got a master's in tax law at NYU. Before law school, worked as a financial advisor. And so I've always been in that finance world. And then I also got more involved in the world of coaching and personal development and conflict resolution. And so I had a knack for all of that, went and got certified as a mediator. And then about 4 years ago, decided to launch this business because I saw there's this huge need at the intersection of relationships and money. And it's one of the biggest stressors, one of the top causes of divorce, unfortunately. And yet there's so little work done around this intersection. So few YouTube channels, so few podcasts, so few books, so few people who specialize in that. And for me, not only seeing that need, but also with my own personal experience with being divorced, I said, you know, I see an opportunity to make a difference here and bring in all my skills and do something that I think I'm going to love. And so that's what got me going. And here I am about 4 years later, and I'm only enjoying it more every day.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. So let's really talk about this. One of the leading causes of divorce is around money issues. What are some of these myths?
Yeah, well, you know, not every issue around money leads to divorce, right? Not every divorce is because of money things, but there's a few things to note, right? Money touches all aspects of our lives. We're working, most of us, 40 plus hours a week. We are paying bills all the time. We are buying things all the time, right? There's always money involved. And so you can't really get away from it, right? And so if it's an issue of tension between you and your partner or spouse, that's going to be there. Even if it's at a low level of tension in a moment, it's going to be there kind of persistently, right? And for couples, this tends to stay. They usually hit some sort of roadblock where it's difficult to talk about money, or something was uncomfortable, or they had a fight. And then that leads them to be stuck in a pattern, the pattern of either avoiding the conversation altogether or a way of relating to it that's not super healthy. And that leads to fights, which trigger back to the defensiveness and avoiding the conversation, right? So let me drill into that a little bit. As far as the myths, right, people tend to believe something of these three myths or so. And for everybody listening, I invite you to consider, do any of these resonate with you now, or maybe they did in the past, but something like, okay, I mean, maybe it worked for that other person or those other couples, but it's not going to work for me, or it's not going to work for my partner, right? That's one. Another big one is, it's not going to really help. If we talk about it, it's just going to make things worse, right? We're just going to fight, or it's going to just make things even worse than they were when we started. And then the third big one is, well, yeah, I mean, maybe those conversations could help, but I don't know if they're going to be really worth the time or the energy. You know, we got a lot going on. We've got kids. I've got a business. We've got whatever the case may be that's going on in your lives. And we buy into those ideas, right? And by the way, it's not just around money. There's their own versions of those myths around different topics as well, right? But those are how I tend to see them show up around money. And I think that people are uncomfortable talking about money because it's a taboo. And so they basically come up with these ideas to justify why they're not going to lean into it and have those difficult conversations. But those are just barriers we're putting up between us and doing something that we're nervous about, that we're scared about, that generates a lot of fear or anxiety, right? Or worries about, are we going to discover that we're incompatible? Are we going to fight too much? And, you know, it's going to make things worse. And those are all legitimate concerns. But at the end of the day, if we really dive into them, we see they quickly all break down. For example, it's not worth the energy or the time. Well, look, money's the top cause of divorce, right? So if you don't tackle it, unfortunately, that could be a path that you're headed down. But also, the thing is that not dealing with it depletes your soul little by little over time, right? And that's not good. In the place of intimacy, instead, you have anxiety or disconnection or resentment or bitterness, right? And that can become contempt, which is a big signal that it's no longer a salvageable partnership, right? And you don't want to get there, right? You want to nip that in the bud before it happens. And just on the other front of like, yeah, but my spouse is never going to change, or, you know, this is just how I am. I'm never going to change. If you don't try to change, then yeah, you probably won't change. But I always say to people, there's at least a significant chunk of the way we think about money that has to do with how we were brought up, right? Which means that it formed after we were born, right? So it's kind of a creation, a construct of our mind's interaction with the world around us. And what does all that mumbo jumbo mean? It means that there might be parts of our relationship with money that are genetic. I don't know enough to say, but there are at least parts that are definitely related to nurture, how we grew up, what we learned, what we saw, how we internalized messages. And if that's the case, then it also means that those parts are malleable, that we can shift them over time. Whether that's us or our spouse, partner, whatever, it may not happen overnight, but it can happen. And the reality is, while it may not be the exact thing you're so excited to spend your time doing as I talk about it, right? I don't know how many of you are like, oh, I can't wait for this. Maybe you are. That'd be great. But even if you're not, you have to really be honest with yourself about the alternative. If you continue to let yourself buy into those myths, it's not going to work for me. It's just going to make things worse. We don't have enough time or energy for it, or it's not worth the time or energy. You know, really ask yourself, well, where's my relationship going to be in a year, in 3 years, in 5 and 10, right? Especially regarding these topics that intersect with money, which is pretty much everything, right? Where we live, how we live, do we have kids? How do we raise those kids? In what ways do we try and help other family members outside of our nuclear unit? What about career decisions, educational decisions? All of this has a huge component that's financial, right? And so if you don't figure out how to get on the same page, how to have healthy dialogue around this, usually it doesn't bode so great for the future if you're really honest and look a few years down the line.
Absolutely. And I love what you're talking about, because it seems like those questions, those conflicts, those points of friction, you know, they come from all aspects of a relationship. Money is just kind of mm-hmm. one thing that, you know, brings mm-hmm. it out. Mm-hmm. And we go, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, money too, right? Yep. So if we can shift that a little bit, right, and really be conscious, which is the goal of a healthy marriage, a conscious marriage, sure. What can we do from the beginning to make sure that that conflict doesn't arise in any aspect of the marriage, but especially around money?
Sure. I mean, look, it's kind of simple. It's complicated, but it's simple, right? The simple part is talk about it and be kind to yourself and your partner as much as you can. Right. You know, and I can wax on about this for hours and hours, don't get me wrong, but at its core, that's what it is. You know, try and figure out how to build trust around this topic, how to build a sense of safety so you can talk about it, whether it's because things are going worse than you expected or better than you expected or whatever. And the way you build trust and safety is by opening up yourself and by listening from a place of care for the other person and curiosity about what makes them tick and why they see the world the way that they do. And no one's perfect. You're not going to embody that every minute of every day, but, you know, as much as possible, come back to that and come from that place. And at the end of the day, that's what it looks like. You know, keep an open mind. Don't decide who you are or who your partner is for them. And ask questions, listen, share, right? And it doesn't have to be so overwhelming to start that process, because you can just take one step, right? Just, you know, talk to your partner about how money was for you growing up. How did your parents or family handle it, right? Ask them if they might share about theirs. This is great because it's not something where you're trying to make a decision, right? So it's kind of hard to argue because there's no different point of view per se. It's just, this is how it was with my parents. This is how it was with my family. And you're just sharing, but at the same way, you're starting that process of opening up to each other, understanding each other a bit more, and laying brick by brick that foundation of trust and safety around a topic that otherwise for people is, like I said, it's taboo. So it can be really uncomfortable. But if you just start leaning into it, and again, you can start small, just one step, just one conversation, just for a few minutes, eventually you'll find yourself in a place where you'll be able to have some of those more complicated conversations that have different moving parts, right? And ultimately, that's what's necessary for most couples living in most parts of the country and the world today, right? Life can be pretty complicated. There's a whole bunch of different moving parts. And that's really where you want to get to be able to have that level of communication between the two of you.
Absolutely. And that's the word that keeps popping into my mind, healthy, conscious communication, right? And that takes a lot because you have to know yourself and be willing to be vulnerable and look into each other's eyes and say, you know, this is what matters to me. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I love that you've written an article for the Why Divorce website, whydivorce.us, that people can go in and check out. But what one of the things I love about you and your practice is that you have a quiz for couples to take. So tell us a little bit about the questions on the quiz, and then, of course, share the URL.
Absolutely. Thank you for highlighting that. Yeah, it's a quiz to find out what I call your couple's money personality type. So there's some really cool quizzes on the internet about find out your money personality type. Are you the saver, the spender, the flyer, the money worshiper, whatever, all different kinds of cool things. And those are great and fun. But I take a different tack. I want to understand, and I want to help you understand, basically, how healthy is your relationship around money, right? How much are you able to share with each other? How much do you know about each other's finances? How much are you in agreement about the next big thing in your relationship, right? Whether that's getting engaged or getting married or buying your first home or having kids or more kids, right? Wherever you might be at, buying the dream home, starting a new business, how much are you on the same page about these things? How much do you know about your partner's finances? How much do they know about yours? And that's really what the quiz gets at. And then based on that, I give you what I call one of four couples money personality types. And based on which one you get, then there is going to be description to help you understand yourself and the situation you're in better, and then also a free tool that you'll get access to specific to your type, with the idea that it's going to help you get to kind of the next level, right? Whether you're at the lowest realm of conscious connected communication around this, okay, we're going to help you with the baby steps. And maybe you're like a good chunk of the way there, okay, we're really going to help you kick it in the high gear. But from wherever you are, help take the next step. And the URL is on my website, which is couplesfinancialcoach.com. And then it's just /quiz. So couplesfinancialcoach.com/quiz. You could put all the HTTP and the HTTPSs you like in the front, secure website, and then couplesfinancialcoach.com/quiz, and check it out. Let me know what you think.
Well, that's awesome. But tell us more. What are the four personality types?
Okay. So they are emergency territory, right? Which is couples who are really just, you know, this is not a topic where they are cohesive and they're not really talking about what are their finances, where are they going. But by the way, none of these are a problem, right? I mean, if you're in emergency territory, there are going to be some lower hanging fruit than there might be if you were in one of the other couples money personality types, right? And it's all about moving forward from where you are today. But the first category is the emergency territory. And then there's the avoidance area, which are the couples who are just avoiding the topic as much as possible. Usually this is because they're really scared to talk about it. Maybe they had fights in the past or it was really awkward. And so one or both of them was just like, I'm going to stay away from this. And it just kind of fell into that place, right? And then you have the partial partners, which are the people who are, they got a pretty good clue of what's going on with each other, but you know, maybe there are little pockets here and there that are missing. You know, sometimes this is the couple who can talk about money, but they don't really know what to talk about. Or maybe they know a little bit about money, or they're even making good money. They might even have a good net worth, good money, you know, money in their 401k and all that. But when it comes to really talking about it and creating a plan and putting it on paper, they don't, not sure how to not only do the tactical pieces of it, how to actually create the plan, but what even goes in the plan? How, where does the plan come from? Where do these numbers, where do we derive them? How do we figure out what our goals are that we're trying to achieve? What, right? How does all that go? So that's another really common type of person who also comes to work with me. And the last category is the rock stars who are, you know, we're talking about everything. We know where each other's at. We are on the same wavelength about our next big goals and our top priorities and our vision for our financial future. And, you know, no matter where you're at, it's not a reflection of the caliber or quality of your relationship, because you could have a phenomenal relationship, but you maybe haven't gotten in depth on the money stuff yet, right? Or you could have a great relationship that for some reason, money is just a struggle. And since money touches on so many other aspects of our identity, including the trust we have with our partner and the safety we feel with them and, you know, the sense of our future and where we're headed, it can really, it can become a lot for people really quickly if they're not intentional about maintaining that dialogue. But even for the money and relationship rock stars, right? It's about then staying the course, continuing to be in touch about it, making sure you're working your plan. And as life changes, because life, that's the only constant, right, is change, is that you're able to adapt and make those shifts so that you can stay on track with the things that matter most to you. And that's at the end of the day, what I see money as being about is a tool for you to fulfill on what matters most to you, whether that's buying a home, taking care of your family, enjoying adventures and experiences, donating to causes you believe in, right? This is what money can be used for. And that's really my goal with couples, is to get them to a point where they are working together with their heads and hearts, and they're able to create a plan that helps them achieve those goals, to use money in the ways that most matter to them.
It's beautiful. And it's so fundamental. I can see, like as you're talking, it's almost like this is the point of entry where you can truly start having conversations about yourself and your life and your future. And money, it's almost like inverting it, where money is the entry point and what we think is so important and complicated, but truly it's that deeper dive into ourselves and using money as a tool to get us to where we want to go. So I love that. Yes. I love that. And I love that you do this, Adam. This is so interesting. And I'll give a shout out to our client, Margarita Cheng, who every Friday does Margaritas with Margarita. It's 15 minutes of financial tips for people, women especially, so that they can get control of their financial futures. And we met through that. So Rita introduced us. But indeed. I was so excited to have you come on to the Why Divorce Show. This is actually our first video show. We've done podcasts in the past since I launched the book project a few years ago. But Adam, the project that is really case studies of people's marriages and what keeps them together, what pushes them apart. So money is one thing, but talk about your personal experience with divorce and remarriage. Mazel tov, you're getting married next February.
Thank you. Remarried. Yes. Yeah. Toda rabah. So I got married at 23, when in my year between college and grad school, it was when I was doing that work as a financial advisor that I mentioned earlier. And we met in college, dated, and it felt like the next right step. And then we both went off to grad school together. And, you know, a lot happens in one's 20s. And the directions that we grew were not parallel, right? They were divergent. And so the relationship was no longer the right fit for either of us at that point, which was about 3.5 years later. And, you know, even though I certainly look back and can appreciate that, and maybe even in the moment, a part of me knew that this was the right move, you know, it was still one of the most difficult times of my life, bar none. And that is one of the reasons that I love to help couples navigate a topic that otherwise could lead them down a path that is hard. But, you know, for me personally, our challenges weren't related to money in particular. And we were both grad students with debt and a negative net worth. So we didn't really have any significant assets or any children or anything like that. So we kept it pretty simple. You know, each of us took on our own debt and we divided the money in the accounts. And that was more or less what happened. But I certainly know it can be a lot more complex for other couples, depending on where they're at in their lives and in their relationships. But yeah, I mean, there was no doubt I was going to continue to search for someone who could be my partner for life. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight, but I feel really grateful to have found that person. And we got engaged in May and we're set to get married in February of next year, President's Day weekend.
Well, that's awesome. So if you don't mind sharing, what are some of the money conversations you two have been having?
Well, for sure. You know, we're talking about certainly the wedding and how we want to have that look and go and how much we want to allocate towards that. Certainly, where do we want to live, especially right now, because we'd like to have children and then we want to be as close as possible to family. And both our families are in South Florida, which is where we live too. But, you know, it's kind of like, okay, what do we want to do for the next year or two? Do we want to maybe live in a more hip part of town, maybe closer to the beach? And do we want to rent or do we want to buy? And if we do buy, do we buy and sell in 2 years or do we buy and see if we could rent it out and all of that? And so, you know, a lot of those conversations, what does that look like? How do we navigate it? For me, being an entrepreneur, how do we tackle and think about our plans given that my income from month to month can vary, right? And there's a lot fewer guarantees for me versus my fiance. So, you know, a lot of those classic conversations, we are not exempt from them. I can say I'm certainly not immune from being very human when it comes to these conversations and, you know, getting up in my feelings and misinterpreting things that she said that a couple hours later it dawns on me, oh my God, I think I totally misunderstood what she said. And then when I clarified it, I was like, oh yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Right. That's a real story that happened a few weeks ago. I got all in my feelings about something. A few hours later, we were at a performance of a string quartet. And halfway through the set, I said, wait, did you mean this? And she goes, yeah. I was like, okay, yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't know why I got annoyed before, why I got upset. So, you know, all the very human things, right? What are our next steps? Planning the marriage, planning for a family, planning for where we want to live, figuring out how we manage it in terms of my business and variable income. And it's, and we do our best to try and treat it like a mix of, there's the directional part of the conversation that's like, how do we move towards taking concrete actions as far as the wedding or where we want to live or saving for certain goals? And then there's also the part that's, hey, this is a lifelong project of trying to get to know ourselves and each other better and just continue to fill in and make it a richer, more beautiful picture and tapestry of ourselves and each other, because that connection is in itself invaluable. But on top of that, it'll help us make better decisions and execute on our plans more effectively the more we understand each other and the more we understand ourselves. So, you know, I always think of it in at least two ways.
Yeah, that's beautiful and should be on a poster for, you know, how to have a healthy relationship. Thanks. Especially around money, right?
I'd have to make it a little more concise, but yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll work on it. It'll be a work in progress. So thank you so much for being on the Why Divorce Show today. Really happy to share your wisdom, your wit, your heart, and I hope that others can benefit from that too. So we will have links to your websites and especially your quiz so that people can jump on that. So thank you, Adam Cole. We look forward to having more conversations with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Would love to be a part of them. And also, if I may, just encourage folks to check out the podcast that I host, which is on everything about relationships and money. That's called the Couples Financial Coach Podcast. So would love to have you check things out over there as well. And thank you a ton to Hope for not just for having me on the show, but for this project you've taken on, because I know it firsthand, divorce can be a lonely journey. Even though almost half of marriages end in divorce, it's still very easy to feel misunderstood or like, you know, you don't know who to go to, who's going to know the right way to take care of you or the right things to say. And so just to have someone thoughtful like you out there building this kind of project, it's one of those things where you'll never know the impact you make, but the impact will be there.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And that was absolutely the reason that I started this book project and video series and podcasts, because I want people to know they're not alone. And what you're feeling is probably what zillions of other people are feeling. So bringing them together on this project and the other work Amen. We do through my publishing and PR firm, Incandescent, is really thrilling. So Adam, Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Best of luck in your marriage. Hopefully we will talk to thank you before you. February, but if not, be well, be safe. And thank you to everyone who is listening Thanks. To us. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Why Divorce Show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Why Divorce. If you or anyone you know and love would like to be interviewed for the show, please let us know. We're also looking for people to share their stories as case studies, and they can remain anonymous, and for experts to help guide our audience through this important process. Just email me at hope@hopegibbs.com. That's hope@hopegibbs.com. Until we talk again, wishing you joy and peace.